All right. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready for the word today? Good. I'm excited to bring you the word. Been excited all weekend to see what God does with it. Go and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter 6. I don't know what to say about that. Let's open up our Bibles to John, chapter 6. There you go. It's all right. It's cold outside. Baby, it's cold outside. Which, why is that a Christmas song? Anybody? It's a guy trying to seduce a lady. Let's just be honest. With alcohol. And yet we sing it all the time. Hey, isn't that wonderful? Anyways, it is actually a favorite song. I enjoy it as well. I'll get off that because I'm probably offending you. It's all right. As we start this year, I wanted to bring us to some places of core beliefs and values of the church. I entitled this new series, Life Is. Now, there's many ways you could take that thought. Life is. Life is what? Well, for us, life is life. Church is what we're going to be talking about. But I also believe what life church is and our core values is what makes up a person's life in success as a believer. Obviously, we believe our core values help create successful believers in life. And not just in life in general, but as a life church partner, a member. So many of you are new to the church over the last few months. We've seen quite a bit of new faces and families come through since the fall. And so I wanted to tell you who we are. I wanted to bring you back to some of our core beliefs and values so that you know who you're going to be if you hang around for a while. What are your kids going to look like? What are you going to look like? Do you realize you become who you hang around? Isn't that interesting? You know, my mentor, one of my mentors in life in the beginning, she used to say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because we do really become like the people we hang around. So it's important you know the church that you're connecting to. You know their heartbeat. You know their philosophy of things. Because it's going to come into everything they do. And if they don't have a plan, you need to know that as well. Because then you really don't have a destination. You're just going to wander around. But we actually have a destination. We have a target. And it's our core values. They really are the Word, the Spirit, and relationships. You heard Pastor Craig say that a minute ago in the video announcements. The Word of God, number one, we believe to be the foundation for everything that we do. We are unashamedly a church that will encourage you to be responsible personally to grow in the Word of God. You're going to see we have so many classes and so many places for you to learn and to be educated because we really believe the truth makes you free. And we really believe that the more you know, the more you can believe. And the more you can believe, the more you can receive. But you can't believe what you don't know. Are you hearing me? And so you must learn and grow and renew your mind. That's how we're transformed, by the renewing of our mind. And so today I'm actually going to talk to you about the Word of God and its importance and its value. But you're going to see everything we do around here is going to push you to learn the Word of God. It's going to push your children all the way down into Awana's and into Tot's life, to our youth group. Our youth ministry here is not just one that's about having a good time. It will also push your teenagers to be personally responsible, to be discipled in the Word of God. We will not be satisfied with you being passive in your seats, waiting for all of us to learn the Word and just give you a little something. We will always challenge you to learn the Word for yourself. Can I have an amen on that? The Holy Spirit of God, we believe there to be a special call on this church and on our lives to introduce people to the Holy Spirit. We obviously prioritize God the Father, God the Son, the entire Trinity. They work together. They are one. But there is, we believe, to be a deficiency in this generation of a lack of knowledge or misunderstanding when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And so we take it personally to help people introduce them to the Spirit and how He works and operates in their lives, how He makes them successful, because He is the helper to help you become and to do and to win in all the areas that Jesus paid for you to win in. And so we want to help you cross some of those hurdles of confusion or ignorance about the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. And we're not just going to talk about the Holy Spirit, we're going to move in the gifts of the Spirit and give you plenty of places where you can be touched and ministered to by the Holy Spirit of God Himself and the gifts of the Spirit of healings and miracles and all kinds of great expressions of God trying to fix things, not just mentally, but supernaturally in your life. So we're going to do a lot of training you and giving you opportunity to be ministered by the Holy Spirit. And lastly, is relationships. Because it's important to us that you know how to get along with people. It's important to us that you know how to succeed in the area that really makes life life, and that's our relationships with people around us. God didn't make us to live in a cave and be hermits. Amen. He made us to have family, to be a part of family. Even if you yourself don't have a family, you really do. It's the family of God. God wants you to have brothers and sisters in Christ. God wants you in community. God wants you to be able to have friends and play well in the sandbox with other kids. God wants you to not just know the word, but know how to make a friend. God wants you to know how to be a good parent, a good spouse. God wants you to know how to be a good coworker in the factory or in the school district or wherever you are. God is not just about you learning spiritual education in your brain, but somehow that has to apply and work itself out in your daily relationships. See, it's not okay to be a person that knows the word of God and yet you live in busted relationships everywhere you go. That doesn't compute. Amen. And the same thing with being spirit-filled and having the power of God in your side. It's not okay to just be spiritually strong and have spiritual dynamics and manifest spiritual gifts, but yet you can't get along with people. You're so out there in the clouds in the spiritual realm that you don't know how to relate to people here and now. And so we want to make sure we're training people how to have solid relationships, that your life is really getting better in all of those areas. You have relationship with God, you have relationship with your families, and you have relationships even with the world and with the lost, that we don't isolate ourselves because we're supposed to go into our world. Amen? And sometimes we think, well, we're going to study the Bible in these little classrooms and we're going to have our Holy Spirit services on Sunday nights, but then that's where it dies and that's where it stays. If we don't know how to bring it into relationships out there in the world, then they're never going to know what we know and they're never going to see what we see. And we have to be the salt and the light in the world around us. And so we're going to drive us out and have relationships with people that don't know Jesus. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's a whole lot better than your amens. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I can see what I'm up against today, but I don't care. I'm taking you all on right now. We're going to go into the Word because that's the first priority we're going to talk about today, the Word of God. I want to talk to you about the value of the Word of God, why the Word is important. Because I can tell you, hey, you need to get in your Bibles, and then it becomes something that I'm telling you to do. But when you see the value of something, you'll do it on your own. When you see the value of something, then you'll do it consistently. Because it's when you don't see the value of it that you let it slide, you let it drift away because you've lost sight of why you're doing it. Like, the same thing with a diet, that's the same thing with a budget. The reason we let those things go is because we lose sight of our whys. We lose sight of why do I want to get healthy? Why do I want to get out of debt? Why do I want to read the Bible? Are you understanding what I'm saying? But when you go back to the whys, then you'll realize the value and it'll keep you going. Amen! Man, that was really good. I didn't even say that in the last few services. I must be feeling better. Praise God. John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus speaking, talking about the Bible. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. That's Spirit, capital S. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. The words of Jesus, the words of God, let's say, because Jesus is God, but we're putting it all in the same category. The words of God are not just words. They're this book here, which records the words of God, which records the actions of God and the promises of God and the very words themselves of God. This book, the words of God, are not like just any old dictionary, any old encyclopedia or history book. These words, which is what I'm trying to help paint a picture for you today, are beyond other books and other texts. This, the Word of God, actually contains within each word spirit and life. I'd like you to see it like a capsule, you know, like those little vitamin capsules, and it encased in those capsules, there's all kinds of vitamins or medicines or health supplements on the inside. These words contain the spirit and life of God. And as you ingest them, as you digest them, you bring them into your life, what's inside of those words begins to develop and grow and nurture and expand who you are as a spiritual being. You are a spirit being. I hope you realize that. You live in a body, but you first and foremost are a spiritual being. These words are food to your spirit being. These words are life to your life being. These words bring spirit and life. If you want to bring more of the Spirit of God into your life, bring more of the Word of God into your life. If you want to bring more life into your life and push death out of your life, then bring the words of life into your life, and it will push out and displace those words of curse, those words of death, those words of darkness, and bring in words of light and life and spirit. It's easy, my friend. But we have to understand what we're doing when we're consuming the Word of God, when we're taking within ourselves the Word of God. I am bringing more spirit in, which is making my spirit man stronger, that I would not rely on the flesh. And so if I want to see my flesh shrink and my spirit man grow, bring in more spirit. Are you understanding? If I want to see if my life has been filled with death and darkness and sorrow, all those things that lead to death, then bring in more life. It's not just getting something out of you, my friend. It's filling you with something greater than, and that will push out those other things. Are you understanding? And so it's not just you trying to tackle those issues of life, but rather fill yourself with spirit and life and let that then begin to push out the others. I started reading the Bible, the Word of God, I started reading the Bible as a young man, as a young child. I was probably 9 or 10 when I started reading, and I made a decision personally. I said, I will read this book one chapter a day, 5 days a week, and I will read one chapter a day before I watch my cartoons. That was my big sacrifice to the Lord. Before I watch any cartoons, I will read a chapter of my Bible a day. The reason I bring that up isn't to pat myself on the back, but I'm telling you this. As a child, I knew the Bible was important. And I knew if I wanted to grow, I had to understand this book. I knew it at 9 and 10 years old. There was something childlike in my heart that said, if I want to know God, if I want to grow in God, then I'm going to have to make a decision. As a 9-year-old, I can make that decision. There are people that are 90 years old that have never worked that out. Amen. And the other thing I want to bring up is, and this is no disrespect to my parents, because I love my parents very, very much, and I honor them, but at this time in their lives, they did not model that for me. This was a decision I made myself. I didn't have a pattern. I didn't have someone else, but somehow in my spirit, I was hungry for God. I wanted to become as big in God as I could be, and as a 9 or 10-year-old, I knew that my pathway to that was more than just going to church for an hour and a half a week. If I'm going to grow in God, I need to take responsibility and put that word in my heart. As a 9 and 10-year-old, I knew that to be true. And I encourage you the same way. You might not have had a model that made that a priority. You might not have had somebody that's inspired you physically, but you have to come to a place at a decision in your own heart that says, I must know the Word. I want to grow. I don't want to just be small and average. I want to be great. And there's only one way to do that. Put in more spirit and life. Put in the words of God. The words of God have created everything, and it's the same thing that's creating you and your future as well. Amen. We'll continue to move forward. You know, as I started reading, I challenge you to see the Word of God as a swimming pool. Because there's a lie in some people's mind that say this Bible is too hard to understand. I thank God as a 9 or 10-year-old, I didn't know that was a lie that was out there. As a 9 or 10-year-old, I said, I want to grow. I'm going to grab that Bible. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to understand it. Do you understand? But sometimes as we get older, we have all these barriers and boundaries where it's like, oh, that's so hard. Every time I've read the Bible, it's so confusing, or you know, it's just too much theology or doctrine. I can't comprehend it. I'm going to tell you flat out, that's all lies and excuses. Amen. God wants you to know that Word. He sent you the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you into all truth. The moment you step in with an open heart to say, I will know this Word, you will see yourself have revelation, understanding. You may have never understood any other book that you've ever read, but I'll tell you, you will understand this book because you are made up of its contents. Your spirit will resonate with every word. Even if you don't totally grasp everything, it will still grow and benefit you as you read it, and your spirit man will begin to learn the language of God. Give it enough time, and you will understand every word, and you'll be able to teach others. You might not be able to teach them anything before, but you'll be able to teach them this because it's something that's happening inside of you while you're doing it. Man, all of that was really good. Okay, I'm telling you, I'm feeling better. First two services, I wasn't feeling very well, but I'm feeling really good now, so you're in for it. Listen, I go back to the swimming pool illustration. Why do I say that? Because the Word of God has something for everybody, no matter at what point you get in the pool. You know, there's a shallow end, not to call the word shallow by any means, but what I mean is even if you're a beginner, you can get in and splash around and have a good time. But it's always got a deep end as well. What I love about it is the Word of God has the ability for a new person to jump in and enjoy it, but also you have the ability to get deep enough that no matter how long you've been in the Word of God, there's still more depth to go. Amen. And we can swim up and down that pool and we can all have a party. You know, I challenge some of you, not only do I want to get people into the Bible for the first time, but some of you who have been neglecting your Bibles for a while now because you have gotten into some commonness and some places of saying, oh yeah, I used to kind of study the Word, or there was a time in my life I really made it a priority, and you're living on the fumes of an old passion for the Word. And I'm telling you, that Bible has more to teach you than you're giving it credit for. That Bible, if you'll open it up again, has more to reveal, more revelation. And as revelation begins to pop, that spirit, that life begins to be imparted, you wonder why you're aging in Christianity. I don't care how old you are physically. I'm talking about people who are becoming aged in their Christianity and they're becoming kind of dried up and becoming bored. Listen, let the Word of God come back into your life with childlike faith and childlike eyes. There is more revelation to speak to you. Go get your Bible again. Do your first works again. Stop living off past revelation. God has something to tell you today. Amen. You do not know it all. You have not seen it all. There's more in the pool. I remember being a chaplain for a Christian school. It's part of the first part of my ministry. And there would be teenagers that would come in, 14 years old. I was teaching Bible class. 14 years old, I'd try to teach them the Bible, and they'd be like, I already know everything in there. Really? 14? You got it all worked out, do you? You don't even shave. This Bible has way more in it than you're giving it credit for. You understand, God is infinitely amazing. His thoughts are limited, unlimited. His revelation and ability to impress you is unlimited. If you give him the time, if you give him the faith, he will take you places in him that will still blow your mind even after thousands of years of being with him. I believe even the angels of heaven, as they see God and they've been with him for millennia, every time they look at him, they're still impressed with who he is. Your God has enough in him to keep you interested for all eternity. Are you understanding? Give his word, which is him, more credit than just putting it on the shelf saying, I know it all already. That's a lie. And I want you to get back in your Bibles. And no, I'm not being nice about it. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter speaking says this, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. I'll read it again and bring clarification. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. What many of us may not have ever read that like is I believe Peter is using that as a command. He's not defining it saying, you know, naturally newborn babies crave spiritual milk. He's saying, look, you're newborn in Christ. Now do like newborns do, and I command you to crave pure spiritual milk. That's different. He says that you may grow up in your salvation. It's important to realize if you're ever going to grow up in Jesus, you must at some point embrace a desire and a personal ambition to know the Word of God. See, it says if you want to grow up in that salvation, you can stay a baby and immature, tossed around by every wind of doctrine, being bullied by the devil, not living in your inheritance, not living in your real spiritual identity, but just being born and living in this nursery called early parts of Christianity. But if you really want to grow up and experience the fullness of God, then you must desire and crave and drink and partake of the pure spiritual milk, the Word of God. It's the only way you're going to learn. Now, as you drink that milk, as you partake of that milk, there'll come a day that you go into meat and you learn even more and grow even more. The interesting part about babies drinking milk is this. As they're drinking it day by day, moment by moment, they don't look like they're changing. Are you understanding? But they are getting bigger. How do I know that? You're buying bigger diapers every week. Now you think they didn't slam a bottle back and all of a sudden turn into Andre the Giant? It takes time. Sometimes it looks like nothing's growing, but when you step back over 6 months, you're wearing bigger diapers. And someday you're going to wear big boy pants. Amen. And someday you're going to wear jeans and all kinds of stuff, and you're going to eat real solid foods. But what I'm saying is, you might not realize the growth that's taking place, but if you step back 6 months from now, as you've daily feasted on that word of God, as you've daily taken its nourishment, you're maturing, you're growing. All of a sudden, things are coming your way. You're not reacting the same way you used to react. You're not acting in carnality. You're not acting in death because you have more life on the inside of you. You're acting more like a spiritual person because you have more spirit on the inside of you. And you're seeing yourself make more mature choices because you're growing up. But you must crave pure spiritual milk. The word pure there means unmixed. It means unmixed. It means not mixed with the world's opinions of what this book says. It's let the Bible speak what it says. Let the Spirit be your tutor and teacher in that thing. Don't let culture or contemporary people tell you what that book's trying to tell you. Let it be pure word that comes into your heart. That's why I don't believe when people say I'm studying my Bible, but they're really just reading everybody else's devotional. Actually, read your Bible first. Make the devotional a side thing. Let the Bible talk to you first. Even before you read footnotes, some people say my Bible says this, and then they show me what the Bible says, and it's really a footnote, which is what somebody else says about what the Bible says. We must be people who first and foremost read the Word and let the Spirit of God talk to us first. We can use those as resources, but you must be a person that first studies the Word. Are you getting anything out of this so far? This all begs the question, is it possible? Can I teach myself to crave something? Because that's what Peter tells you to do. He says, crave pure spiritual milk. Now, is it possible to crave something, make myself crave something? Some of you have never read the Word. And so naturally, you don't have a craving for it. Some of you are waiting for that Bible to do something to create a craving in you. It's like, make me want you. But Peter says, you crave it. And as you crave it and eat it, you learn to have a taste for it. You learn to have an appetite for it. You don't know what you're missing, so you don't have an appetite for it. Are you understanding? You're new to your Bibles. You've never really used it, or you haven't tasted it in a long time. Taste and see that the Lord and His Word is good. Amen. Is it possible to teach yourself to crave something? I like the analogy when people say something is an acquired taste. That typically means that your body naturally rejects it, but if you shove it down long enough, you will want it at some point. An illustration I like to use with that is sushi. When I first started eating sushi, we had guests come to the church that wanted to go to sushi places, and I had no taste for raw fish. I like my food cooked, and I don't prefer to have things swimming in my mouth or anything like that. And they're like, isn't it great? It's got seaweed. And I'm like, but you know, you kept eating it, and guess what happened? I have an acquired taste. I actually enjoy sushi now, though I still don't do the seaweed, just to let you know. But I'm not trying to liken the Word of God to something that tastes bad that you have to start eating and force you to, that it tastes good. Some of you have a misinterpretation of the Bible thinking it tastes bad. I'm telling you this, most of you have never tasted it. But the moment you taste, I'm not telling you to taste something bad and shove it down until it tastes good. I'm saying you can learn to crave something, but you didn't know what you're missing. And the moment you begin to eat it, the moment your mouth begins to have a desire for it, the moment your heart and your spirit person begins to not want to live without it. Amen. Because you've introduced it to your taste buds. You've introduced it to your spirit. You've introduced it onto the inside. And now you can tell, you go a few days without it, you go a few weeks without it, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm craving that Word. You go on vacation and you go into churches that aren't preaching the Word, and you're like, I'm still craving that Word. This isn't doing it for me. I have to find the Word. You see, now you've become a person that is craving the Word. Your mouth looks for the Word. Your spirit man looks for the Word. Are you understanding? You can make yourself crave the Word of God. Peter says you can. And until you do that, you'll never grow up in salvation. Are you understanding this? But there is responsibility involved in it. As you begin to eat it, you begin to realize how much you've been missing. You begin to realize its benefit. You begin to have a taste for it, and you don't want to live without it. John chapter 1. Open your Bibles to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Let's look at the Word itself. Let's look at the author of the Word and its subject matter, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Just a few things about that verse that I think we should value. See, I'm trying to create a value in the word. Why does it matter? It's spirit, it's life. It's not like any other book. You can create a craving for it, a taste for it. Taste and see for yourself. You're going to sense yourself getting better and improving. So many things. But here, the Bible talks about the word and puts the word on the same level as Jesus. Jesus begins to identify himself with the word of God. He begins to use the word in Jesus as an illustration and interchangeably here, talking about the power of God and the creative force of God, and Jesus is God. See, this in context, this is actually speaking of Jesus. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was Jesus. The word was with God. Jesus was with God. And the word, Jesus, was God. But also, it not only shows a value on the word of God, but it shows what the word of God accomplishes. It says that through the word of God, all things were made. We have to understand, again, this is not like any other book. These promises, these statements of faith, these statements of hope and future, these are statements that are linked to God's own mouth. Amen. And they're written down so that we know what he said. Because what he said lasts forever. Grass may wither, flowers may fade, but the words that proceed from the mouth of God abide forever. Amen. And you see, the word here is saying everything that has been made has come from the mouth of God, from the words of God. God wants to make something out of your life. You know he's going to do it? With his words. God wants to make light and darkness out of your life. You know he's going to do it? The way he's always done it, through his words. God wants to recreate you. How's he going to do it? The way he created everything, with his words. You know, when God started making this universe, there was nothing, nothing, nothing. Not matter, not energy, not anything, not atoms, not molecules. Out of nothing, the Bible says, except his word, he made everything. Which means, what materials will he draw on to make his promise in your life? He will draw on his word. He doesn't need your mama's approval. He doesn't need a bank account. He doesn't need a doctor's permission. He doesn't need a degree. He just needs what his word said over you. Are you understanding? He will make his word, will bring the pieces and the abilities together to perform what he's promised over your life. He's made everything from his word. I love it when the Bible says here that it's life. The word is life. And that life is the light of men. You know, ever have the lights go out in your heart and in your life? It just seems like there's the light in your eye has gone out, the glimmer of hope, the joy, just that sense of why and of existence, of beauty of everything, that light. You know, the light in life, you know, when it just seems to have gone out? And the Bible links the word here to bringing life back into a person's life and turning the light back on in their life. See, it's like the lights go out. How do you get the lights back on? The word. The word of God brings the spirit back in where the spirit of death is coming and displaces it. You're understanding? The word takes the darkness that has enveloped your life and puts light back in and turns on the light of men. The reason you live, you know, we're not just meant to be walking zombies, walking in darkness. We're meant to have the lights on. And the word brings light. The word brings life, and that light is the light of men. That's why we live. It's what makes life life, and the life that God envisioned, not just a bunch of walking dead, but the life that God envisioned. There's only one way to bring that in, and it's through the word of God. Are you understanding? It's the same thing with our world. That's why our world's in darkness. That's why our world isn't going to get its lights turned on, because it's trying to do it without the word of God. But yet the flesh profits nothing. But what the Spirit does through the word brings the life and the lights back on. And I love it when it says the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot overpower, listen to this, what the word produces. Darkness cannot overpower what the word produces in your life. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I bring that up because Jesus is the subject matter of the Bible. Jesus is the overall guide and author of this book. But Jesus says here, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And as the author of it, as the steward of it, and as it's all coming into being, and really this entire book speaks of Jesus and links to Jesus, Everything you will learn in this book, everything you will study in this book, everything to bring value to it, to help you give a real simplistic way of understanding what's happening, why do I need this, where is its value, everything in this book, everything in this word will lead you to the way, the truth, and the life. This book will consistently reveal to you the way. Do you ever get lost in life? We all have. You get lost in your journey with God. You get lost in a fog sometimes. People sometimes have a midlife crisis and they get lost in the middle of their midlife. People get lost in culture. People get they lose themselves. They get lost in tragedy. This Bible, this word will bring you back to the right way. Because the author of the book is the way. He's the way to eternal life. He'll show you the way to live this life. Amen? He'll show you how to get back on course to the destiny that God has for your life. This book will consistently show you the way. That's one of the purposes of this book, the author behind it. He is the way. He is the word, which shows you the way. He is truth. This book will bring you truth in the world filled with lies and confusion and deceiving spirits and all kinds of accusations about where you're headed or what you should and shouldn't be doing. You know, the reason I love knowing the truth is because by knowing the truth, I know when I'm presented with a lie. If I don't know the straight line, then I won't be able to tell when something's crooked and something's off. But as I know this word and as I know the wills of God and I know the nature of God, I know the plans and purposes of God, you cannot be deceived. You can't be deceived by a person, you can't be deceived by a spiritual dynamic, you know, a demonic spirit or a deceiving spirit. You can't be deceived by times and seasons and cultures. Why? Because you know this word, and this word helps you to always point towards truth. And in knowing the truth will not only make you free, the truth will keep you free. Because in every season of your life, deception and lies and confusion will always try to change your course off the way and get you into the wrong way. Amen. But as a student of this word, as someone who's an authority in this word, you will always know the way. You'll know the way through the storm. You'll know the way through the trial. You'll know the way that leads to life. Are you hearing me? And you're not dependent on someone else always showing it to you. You have access to the way yourself. And you have access to the truth yourself. And you know when someone's trying to deceive you, you know when someone's trying to steal, kill, and destroy what what God has been trying to build. And then it will always lead you to life. That's what this book will constantly bring you, back to the way, the truth, and the life. Let me talk to you a little bit about this book. It is not like some may think, because I'm not going to believe it, I'm not going to take for granted or whatever, that everybody thinks about the Bible the same way that I do, because I know many of you come from different backgrounds. Some of you, new to the faith, might actually believe the Bible is a religious, ceremonial, or tradition book. You've never studied it, you've never gotten into it for yourself, but you think, well, this is a religion, which, by the way, it's not what God set out to create. It wasn't a religion. It's a relationship with you, which is different. There's a vast difference between a religion and a relationship. You can have a religion with a statue and with something that doesn't care about you back. But you can't have relationship unless there's caring and affection on both sides. Does that make sense? Communication. But that's just totally different. Listen, this book is not a religious, ceremonial, traditions of men book. This book has to do with your future, has to do with you winning. This book, yes, has a few ceremonies may be in it, a few traditions in it, very minor, but even those are all pointing to Jesus. Even the ceremonies and the traditions we do see in the Bible all have a purpose and a meaning. It's not like climb up and down that mountain once a year, 10 times, drink of that water and stand on one foot and then just do it because we said so. But even the traditions and the ceremonies we see in Scripture, they're all painting a picture of who Jesus is so that when Jesus came, people would know he's the Messiah. See, God never did anything for vain traditions and repetitions. He was always trying to help you understand the reality that he's here and he's got things working in a specific plan. But this book is not primarily a book about religious traditions and ceremonies. It's also not a book of do-nots. See, sometimes people don't get into the Bible because they think it's going to be a book of a bunch of do-nots. Do not do this. Do not do that. When actually, the real perspective of the Bible is a how-to book. It's a how-to succeed book, a how-to overcome book, a how-to win book, a how-to come out of bondage and into light, how to come out of death and into life, how to be healed, how to be free, how to have good relationships, how to not live a life full of bitterness and offensive poison, how to not be pushed around by everything that happens in this world around us, how to be an overcomer, amen, how to have hope and how to have a future, how to have relationships with your kids, how to have relationships with the world, how to deal with the devil and how to deal with sin. Well, you know, the world doesn't even want to acknowledge there is such a thing as sin, but guess what? It's still there and they don't know what to do with it. But this book knows what to do with it, and it not only knows what to do with it, it knows how to set you free from it, so that you can live above it, amen, and not let it dictate your future, and let yourself live a life that you were intended to live. This book is intended to help you win. Are you understanding? Amen. If you, by ignorance or lack of knowledge, think this is just a do not book, you're missing it. This is a book on how to win, a book on how to continue on the way that leads to life, rather than one that leads to death and destruction. How to know the truth and not be deceived. How to live life and not succumb to the death in this world. Are you understanding? This book is a how-to book, praise God. It's more than just what you might think it is. You know, something else, and I didn't say this in the other services, but I'm going to take liberty in this last service to tell you this. Something else that's beautiful about this book is it's also a book that teaches us about the potential that God has on the inside of you. This book is so for you. It is on your side. Are you understanding? It is your biggest fan and coach trying to help you succeed and win the game. This book isn't here to tell you what you're not able to do. See, that's a wrong perspective. Again, people have been, they've been scared off of the Bible. This book is not here to tell you what you're incapable of. This book is here to tell you what you are more than capable of doing. Are you understanding? You are so much more than what you even imagine. It took God writing it down. See, he's the creator anyway. He's the author of the whole story and the whole plan. And so he then begins to tell us in this book. But if we don't know what we're capable of, we'll live far below what we're capable of. Because again, we'll let other people tell us what our limits are rather than letting the word of God teach you that you aren't limited at all. Are you understanding? See, lack of knowledge is a problem. What you don't know can and will hurt you. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, not for a lack of power, not for a lack of provision, not for a lack of the will of God, but because we don't know what it is. And so it gets stolen from us. Just like rights in our country, when we don't know what belongs to us, people have the freedom to take it from us. They take liberties they don't really have to take our freedoms away. The devil does the same thing. He takes things away from you that don't belong to him, but you don't even put up a fight because you didn't know it was yours. This book tells you what is yours and who you are. This book isn't here to make you see yourself small. This book is here to make you see yourself big and like an overcomer. This book is constantly telling you how to overcome your insufficiencies, how to overcome your weaknesses. This book is constantly telling you to aim higher, see bigger, do more, reach this world. You are the salt, you are the light. This book's trying to tell you you are the body of Christ. You're not that old sinner saved by grace. You are a son and a daughter of God. You are the temple of the living God. You are filled with the dynamite, dunamis power of God. You have the solution to this world's problems in your body, in your mind, coming out of your mouth. You are a victor, you are not a victim. You are the head and you are not the tail. You are above only, you are not beneath. You will not be under the devil's feet. He will be under your feet, and it will be as you say and declare the word of the Lord in your life. Amen. Amen. But you see, it's all in here. It's all in here. How do you get what's in here? In here. You have to put it in. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, my spirit will bring to remembrance what I've told you. The word bring to remembrance means he's going to remind you of what you heard. Your brain is like a bank. If you don't put any deposits in, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to make a withdrawal on. And so you must put that word in your heart. It's your responsibility. Crave that word. Now, before I close, I want to also let you know that the word of God is not just informational. Not just telling you about how to live. Not just telling you about who you are. Not just telling you about who God is, even, and what he has promised. The word of God also is powerful. See, unlike a textbook, unlike an encyclopedia, it's not just giving you information. While you're reading it, you are being transformed. There's transformation. There is power and effectual things going on while you are consuming and digesting the Word of God. You are changing. You are growing. You are developing. But also, it's not just what's in you. The Word of God, as it comes out of your mouth, the Word of God, as you stand upon it, is bringing change around you. It changes the atmosphere of your house. It changes the atmosphere of your business and your company. It pushes against the plans of darkness, and it pushes light into where darkness was. The Word of God is not just information. It actually brings change to circumstances. See, when God spoke the Word, He wasn't just informing the universe. He was forming the universe. Man, I never even said that before. That's the first time I ever said, someone need to tweet that and give me credit. Just once. When God spoke the universe into existence, He wasn't just informing the universe, He was forming it. His Word wasn't just giving information, it was actually accomplishing what He sent it out to accomplish. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, the discerning of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." The word living and active there. Living is characterized by life and vigor. The word active is characterized by action rather than contemplation and speculation. The Word of God is not just about contemplation, self-reflection, thinking, absorbing. That's good. Yes. No. The Word of God is an action. It's actually accomplishing. It's actively working in you, actively working around you, actively working on bringing the will of God to pass. The Word of God is active. It is powerful. It is alive. It is not like any other book. It's not just more information. It's changing things. Even as I preach the Word to you, you are changing. You're growing when you don't even know it. You are being freed from fears. You are being freed from bondage. You are being released into destiny. Vision is being imparted into you. You are growing under the Word. Not under me, but under the Word. The Word is actively transforming you and shaping you. When you speak the Word in your house, when you pray it in your prayer time, when you sing it out of your mouth in worship, when you declare the Word of God, it's different than you just speaking regular words, but you're speaking the words of God, and in those words is that life and spirit that Jesus talked about, and they begin to be sent forth to do work. You know, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, the devil came in and was tempting Jesus. He had an assignment and a scheme to take Jesus out, and the solution to it was Jesus spoke the Word to stop the devil's attack. Now, He wasn't just informing the devil. The devil already knew the Word, but He was enforcing. That Word actually pushed the devil back. Are you understanding? It's not like the devil never heard it, like he was like, oh, never heard that before. That was new information, Jesus. But the force of that Word coming out of His mouth in that due season stopped that attack at that moment and pushed the devil off his heels and made him retreat. Amen. Are you understanding this? The Word is doing something. It's a force to be reckoned with. Are you understanding? It's not just information and knowledge. It's a force to be reckoned with. Ephesians chapter 6 calls the Word of God the sword of the Spirit. Now that doesn't mean it's a spiritual sword only, like in the unseen realm. It's like whoa, 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 like a spiritual lightsaber. It's not what it means. I think it's the Amplified Bible that actually says the word of God is the sword the Spirit wields. Which I like about that is this: out of all the weapons the Holy Spirit could use, He chooses the Word. Out of all the weapons in the arsenal of God, He chooses the Word. And you can see that played out. Because every time the devil came in, the Lord used the Word against him. When there was darkness and nothing in the universe, He used the Word against it. When enemies came in, He used the Word against the enemies. When sickness and disease were on His people, He used the Word against those things. You can see it played out. The Word of God. You have the same weapon the Holy Spirit has used throughout the ages. Are you understanding what's inside of you? You're understanding the value of putting that on the inside. Rather than you trying to fight your battle, let the sword the Spirit wields fight the battle. Amen. Let the weaponry of God be your weaponry. It's the same thing with the armor of God. We look at it like it's just for us, and it's called the armor of God because it comes from God, rather than it's the armor that God wears. And you get to wear it too. It's the weapons God uses, and you get to use them too. Which means the same victories that God would win, you win, because you have everything God has to win that. You have everything you need for life and godliness. Amen. Amen. So, my question to you is this. What will you do this year to get to know the Word better? What will you do differently this year to get to know the Word again? If you've let it slide and you've slipped it to the side, do you know where your Bible is? Can you please set it out today when you get home and make some sort of a mental commitment of what you're going to do differently? I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to give you Pastor Kevin's plan for your life. You know, you do it this many and we'll all have a formula and we'll all do it together. You need to do whatever works for you in this season of your life. I'm just saying, do something. I can make you this promise. I can prophesy this. If you do nothing, nothing will happen. Or not nothing will happen. You won't grow. You know what I'm saying? You actually won't stay the same. You'll get worse. But if you do nothing, you're not going to get better. I can tell you right off the top. If you take what I'm telling you today and you just discard it, like, oh, nice sermon, nice message. Today wasn't about a message and a sermon. It was about helping you grow up. It's about helping you be an overcomer. It's about helping you go into this next year and make it better than last year. And the way that's going to happen is by you knowing the Word of God to get you and keep you on the way, to keep you in truth and to keep you staying in life. And so I challenge you, what will you do different with the Word this year? For some of you, you might want to make a commitment. I'm going to read the Bible one chapter a day, 5 days a week. Others of you might say, I will read 3 chapters this week, and I'll write it down Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I don't care what it is. Do something. Start. You might say, I'll read a chapter in the Old Testament and a chapter in the New Testament, whatever. And you know what? I'm not asking you to do it for the rest of your life. I'm asking you to make a short-term commitment. Do something that you can manage and that you can celebrate the win. I read the Bible every day this week. Woohoo! Uh-huh. Look at me now. I'm grown up. I'm not immature. I did something responsible. Are you understanding? Do something that we can celebrate. You might not have the ability to read it or something like that. Maybe in the morning or at the night, something goes on with your schedule. You know, this year I tried something new. My schedule's been really crazy, so I've been listening to the Word as I drive. Maybe that's a way for you to get it done. There's a way to do this. Are you understanding? Write it down. Make a plan. Make a commitment. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it in your phone. Make a reminder. If you have an iPhone, tell it to remind you tomorrow on your watch or something. Tell it to remind you tomorrow. Wake me up. Read the Bible. Whatever it is. Do something to get better this year in the Word of God because you will grow. It matters. It means something. Stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Amen. Let me pray this into your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for Life Church. I pray for those watching on the internet right now. I thank you that we will be people of the Word. We are not going to wait for other people to do all the work in the Word, and we just come and think 1 hour a week or hour and a half a week is all we need. We are hungry to grow. We crave pure spiritual milk. Lord, I thank you that you help us to develop a taste for this Word. Lord, your Word is sweet. It is good. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to taste and see that it is good, to be faithful to do it, to be not swayed by our emotions or laziness or go back into old patterns. Lord, I shake those old patterns off this house in Jesus' name. Father, if some of us have let the Word slip over the years and we've been living on the fumes of the past, that God, we would get back into that Word and say, show me again, Jesus. Blow me away again with a revelation of you. Holy Spirit, take me places that I've never known. I'm excited about an adventure with your Word again. Lord, I pray that this church grows and matures and loves your Word, loves it enough where it can even teach others to love it because of their love for it. Lord, I thank you that we are a church built on a foundation of the Word of God, not on a personality, not on a bunch of lights and bells and whistles. We will always build our lives on the Word. We give you thanks for giving it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I encourage you today, if you've never called on the name of the Lord, would you call on him today? He has a hope for you. He has a future for you. He has eternal life for you. He has forgiveness for you. But it all starts with you calling on him to be your God. Maybe you used to have a relationship with the Lord, but for some reason or another, you walked away, you've grown cold, you let yourself kind of just run away for a time. And today you'd say, I'd like to call on the name of the Lord and get my relationship with Jesus back on track. Get back in the way. If that's you today as well, we want to pray with you. Would everyone bow your heads and close your eyes for the next 30 seconds? Say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. I'm not right with God for any number of reasons. I've never given my life to him. Or I want to rededicate my life to him. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to pray with you right at your seat. But if that's you today and you want to give your life to the Lord, would you please just put your hand up wherever you are? And we'd be honored to pray with you today. Pop your hand up. There's a hand in the back. Thank you very much. I am not right with the Lord, but I would sure like to be. There's another hand. Great. Anybody else today? Put your hand up. There's a third and a fourth. Awesome. Anybody else? Put your hand up today. And we'll pray with you right where you are. Don't leave this place out of relationship with Jesus. Anybody else today? All right, let's all pray together. Would you please? Dear God, I thank you see me just as I am. I realize that I've sinned and I walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate those five or so that gave their lives to the Lord this morning? Amen. Have my prayer teams come to the front, please. We're going to have some wonderful prayer teams up here. If you want prayer for healing or you need prayer for maybe something with your job or marriage or you want to get filled with the Spirit or whatever that might be, we have some beautiful prayer team partners that will be down here to pray with you afterwards. If you raised your hand to give your life to the Lord today on your way out, right behind our video cameras, there is an area with volunteers, and they have Bibles for you and resources to help you in your journey with Jesus. Let me dismiss you and send you out. Heavenly Father, I dismiss this group, and as they do, I pray that you would confirm your word this week as they get into the Scriptures, that it would just come alive. They would just sense something in them growing. They would sense darkness leaving and light coming. They would sense joy unspeakable and full of glory. They would sense truth correcting lies. And God, then not only would they see truth, but as they see it, they would also have the ability to make the adjustments needed. Lord, I thank you that we walk out and we grow. And even next week when we come back, there's even more freedom in the room than we even experienced today. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.